Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin, and our friend Rick Tyler is not with us this week, but he'll be back soon, and we're glad that you're with us here this evening. We are here every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific. And as far as our brother Rick Tyler, he will be back soon. I know I've said that numerous times, but you know, with a death in the family, sometimes a lot of things come up, and he's just taking care of some family issues, and we'll have him back here very, very soon, and we'll continue the Bible study as we've done for the last few years in the past. We want to welcome you here to New Visions Radio, and we want to thank Ray Powers for giving us the opportunity to be able to broadcast this program. He works very hard for us every week, making sure that we get this out there on time. And also, we want to invite you to visit our website, which is www.prophecyhope.com. We want to invite you there. And on our website, you will find different sermons from every week that we give at the Prophecies of Hope Church. You can tune in, actually, every week at 9:30 a.m. on Sabbath morning, which is the biblical Sabbath, which is Saturday mornings. And there we have a interactive Bible study where you can actually tune in and watch it live. And it's a roundtable kind of discussion. And then at 11 o'clock, we stream our worship service. And we would love for you to tune in anytime you like. We do that every week on Saturday morning, beginning at 9:30 Eastern, and then the worship is at 11 Eastern. When you go to the website, if you look to the left, you can click on the link there, and it will take you right to the worship service. Now, if you click on that during the week when we're not there, it's just going to give you a blank screen with one of those little rotating circles, because we don't stream during the week. Now, eventually, we're making some changes to the website in the near future, and hopefully we'll add some things. But in the meantime, you can find dozens and dozens of sermons there, sermons that I have given, that our brother Rick has given, our brother Ed Short. We've had a couple of visitors come. You can find our prophecy series there that we do each and every year. We're going to be doing another one this year in 2017 in October. And also on the website, if you look around a little bit, you'll see our newsletter that we release not as often as we'd like to, because we are a very, very busy ministry and we don't always have time to write those articles. Also, if you have any Bible questions or if you have any prayer requests, please feel free to send those in. You can send them to office@prophecyhope.com. That's our general email address. Or if you want to address me personally, you can send them your emails to mark@prophecyhope.com. Or if you want to send an email to our brother Rick, you can send it to rick@prophecyhope.com. So I want to encourage you to go there to the website and look around. And also, today we're going to answer a Bible question that we received in the email. But before we get started doing that, I thought it would be a good idea to open with a word of prayer. We'll answer that Bible question, and then we'll listen to a sermon that was given, that I had given, entitled Blue Commandments. It might sound kind of like a strange title, but let's open with a word of prayer first, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time that we have to set aside the cares of the day and open your word, the Bible, for discussion, for answering questions, and for instruction, Father, in who you are and who your Son is and the things that you have in store for us. Please be with us as we study your word. May the words that I have spoken not be from me, but Father, we ask that your Spirit will guide and direct those who need to hear these things to hear the words as you want them to hear them. And we thank you for all good things. We ask for your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. As far as the question that came in, it's a very good question. In fact, this is something that my thinking or my understanding, actually, of the Bible has changed, because I grew up in a specific denomination that had a set of beliefs, as most of us do. We grow up in a particular church, and we tend to adhere to the doctrines or beliefs of that church. But as you've probably heard Rick and I discuss many times, we don't stand in the same position as our church did, the churches that we grew up in. He and I came up in different churches, but we've come together in an understanding of what the scriptures actually say. So the question that we have here is, does God have a form or have a body? And then this person quotes John 4:24, and here's what it says. I'm going to read that. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's from the New King James Bible. So I think this is a very good question. As we study the scriptures, if you look at the Bible book of Genesis, in the very first chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. This is the Father addressing his Son, because you notice there it says, Let us make man in our image. Now, the interesting thing is, even though it does say that God is a spirit, I was always taught that a spirit has no form. But the Bible indicates otherwise. Now, we don't have time to read all of these texts, but if you take a look at, for example, Numbers 11:23, it speaks about God, that's the Father, having an arm. In Isaiah 40, verse 2, we find that God has a hand. In Luke 11:30, Jesus talks about the finger of God. In fact, it's the finger of God that carved the commandments, the Ten Commandments. In Psalm 11:4, it talks about God's eyes. And so if he has eyes, he must have eyelids. And that's what the text says. In 1 Samuel 8:21, it mentions God's ears. In Matthew 4:4, when Jesus was talking to the devil, he talks about the mouth of God. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, it speaks of how God sits on a throne. He has hair on his head. So if he has a head and he has hair and he sits on a throne, it appears from all of these things that God does in fact have a form. And here's a text that I'd like to share with you, and a lot of people may not understand it this way. I do not believe these things are metaphors. But in Hebrews, the Bible book of Hebrews, chapter 1, in Hebrews chapter 1, and I'm just going to begin in verse 1, and listen carefully to what this says. God, now that's speaking of the Father, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So there in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, it shows that it was through Christ that God made all things. So when God said, let us make man in our image, this is the order in which it was done. The Father did it through his Son. And then when we look at verse 3, it says, after it says, through whom he made the worlds, it says, in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, that's the Father's glory, and being the express image of his person, that's the express image of the Father's person. Remember, we're talking about Jesus being the express image of the Father's person here, and upholding all things by the words of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So there, even in this text, we see that Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. Christ is the expressed image of his Father. So how can you have an image of someone that has no form? I hope that makes sense. That's a very quick way. That's all the time that I have for that. If you go to our website, prophecyhope.com, you'll find a sermon that I gave on this very topic there entitled The Begotten Son of God. And you can find that under 2014 videos. So take the time to take a look at that if you can. So I hope that helps to answer that question. Now, the sermon that you're about to listen to is called Blue Commandments, and I hope that you enjoy this. After the sermon, we'll come back and we'll have a few comments and a closing prayer. So enjoy. You may have looked at the title and said, Blue Commandments. That's kind of odd. We know, based on the scripture reading that we had, that God carved
the commandments with his own finger. The Bible says in stone. But let's begin by opening our Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. And this is where we find the commandments, the Ten Commandments, first vocalized in the Bible. Now, they hadn't, according to Scripture, they hadn't been written yet. But God was actually speaking to Moses, and he was telling Moses to speak these words to those in Israel. Now, a lot of people today, when they read this text, they say, well, this applied only to the nation of Israel. But, you know, if we know our Bibles and we read the Bible and we study these things, we know, based on Galatians, that if we are Abraham's seed, then we are Christ's and heirs according to the promise. So we are spiritual Israel. So what we're about to read here not only applies to the Israelites of old, but it applies to us today. And as we go through this lecture, we will see that. If you take a look here, Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God. I want you to notice that that word Lord is all capitalized. This is the tetragrammaton. That's the divine name. When we see this in the Old Testament, and especially in this category, I believe this is the Father speaking. This is Yahweh or Jehovah, as we would find in Psalm 83:18 in the King James Bible. I plan to give a lecture on that sometime soon. So it says, I am Yahweh or Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. And in our Sabbath school this morning, we talked about how God's people notoriously, Ed pointed out in the book of Jeremiah about how they would always go after false gods after a period of time. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is heaven in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. That's the second commandment. For I, Jehovah your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You see, God is a jealous God. A lot of times we think of jealousy as a bad thing. But see, with our Heavenly Father, everything is done to the right degree. He's jealous if we're worshiping another God. You know, for those of us who are married, we're jealous if we see our marriage mate looking at someone else the way they should look at us, and that's appropriate. We've just read in verse 6 that he also shows mercy. You know, we think of God as a God of love. That's part of his character. We're going to talk more about that in just a few minutes. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of Jehovah your God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now, the way it reads in the King James, it says the Lord your God, and most translations say that. But Lord is a title. It is not a name. It is not a name. Just like God is a title, it's not a name. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of Jehovah your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested the seventh day. Therefore, Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And if you're reading from the American Standard Version, that's exactly how it reads. It restores that divine name. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may go long upon the land which Jehovah your God is giving you. That's the only commandment with a promise. Verse 13, the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Some say you shall not kill. I believe that's what the King James, the authorized King James says. But it's actually the word that should be used there is murder. It's ratsah. It's a Hebrew word. It doesn't mean you shall not kill. There, you know, when a lot of people who eat animals, if we eat meat, we're killing the animals. But this is talking about specifically murder. Specifically murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, and you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in that is your neighbor's. So here we just read the Ten Commandments. Now the question is, who wrote them? God did. We heard that in our scripture reading, that God wrote those commandments with his finger. Now, I'd like you to turn to Exodus chapter 24, just a few pages away. Exodus chapter 24. And we'll see what God carved this in. We always say he carved them in stone, and we could say that. That's not inaccurate. Exodus chapter 24, beginning in verse 9. And it says, then Moses went up also, Aaron, who was Moses' brother, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of, what does your Bible say? Yours says sapphire. Does yours say the same thing, Ed? Sapphire, that's what mine says. Of sapphire stone. So when we say the commandments were written in stone, that's correct, because it was a sapphire stone, mine says. And it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he had not laid his hands, so they saw God, and they ate and drank. Then the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you the tablets of stone. Actually, it says, and I will give you tablets of stone. I inserted that word "the" there. I'm sorry. And I will give you tablets of stone and the law and the commandments which I have written, that you may teach them. The interesting thing is when you look at this in certain translations, it doesn't just say, I will give you tablets of stone. It says, I will give you tablets of the stone. Depends on the translation. Tablets of what stone? Well, you know, the reason that I decided to give this sermon is in our Bible study that we had on Wednesday night, we're in the book of Ezekiel. And Ed was leading out this past week, and it struck me that I'd never actually given a sermon on this. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1. I'd never given a sermon on this, although we had talked about this in Bible study on numerous occasions. Let's see what Ezekiel chapter 1 has to say in verse 26. It says, and above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Now, it's interesting that when you look at this, this throne that we're talking about is actually God's throne. And it says that its appearance was like a sapphire stone. Now, still in the book of Ezekiel, let's turn to chapter 10 and verse 1. This kind of drives this point home a little bit. Ezekiel says, and I looked, and there in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, cherubim, of course, are angels. They're the most authoritative angels. There was a cherubim, one on each side of the throne of God. There appeared something like a sapphire stone having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Now, I find it interesting that on the Ark of the Covenant, there were cherubim that were carved, that were put on the lid. And what was between those two cherubim, or those cherubs? The Shekinah glory, or the presence of our Heavenly Father, of God, which was representative of the angels on either side of his throne. And what was inside the Ark of the Covenant? God's commandments, the Ten Commandments, which are, according to what we just read in Exodus chapter 24, were carved in sapphire stone. And then we see here, as we just read, that there appeared something like a sapphire stone in verse 1 of Ezekiel, chapter 10, having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Now, this theme of, let me ask you this, what color is sapphire typically? There are different colors, but blue. Most of the time, sapphire, the best sapphire is usually blue, and there are other colors. Some are clear. But in the Bible, whenever we're talking about sapphire, unless it uses it in another context and says clear, it would be the color blue. How can we prove this? Well, let's turn our books, our Bibles to Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 15. Numbers chapter 15, that's right in the beginning of your Bible. Numbers is actually the fourth book of the Bible. Chapter 15. And we will begin. I want to set this up for you. What has happened here is there was a man that was out picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. Now, God had given them the commandments. And I will make this comment, and this might rub some wrong, but I believe that the commandments existed from the very time, from the beginning, at the time that Adam and Eve were on this earth, the commandments were in existence. And I've had some that would argue that with me and say, no, the commandments didn't exist until the time of Moses, when he went up on the Mount Sinai and he brought them down. That was when the commandments came into existence. But I just want to plant this seed for you. If the commandments were given at the time of Sinai, and we know that transgression of God's law is what sin is, then that means that Adam and Eve could not have sinned because there would have been no law until the time of Moses. Isn't that right? If transgression of the law is sin, and there was no law, then there could have been no sin. But we just read those commandments. I'm going to digress here for a moment. We just read those commandments, and there was one here that says, you shall not murder. Well, not long after Adam and Eve were on the earth, they had two boys, Cain and Abel. And Cain murdered Abel. Was that not a sin? Of course it was. What about the lie that Lucifer told to Eve? You shall not surely die. Was it wrong for him to lie? According to the commandments, it was. So Lucifer sinned. You see, if there was no commandment that you shall not bear false witness, then it wouldn't have been a sin for Lucifer to lie. So my point is that people through the generations from the beginning of humanity, 6,000 years or so ago, when Adam and Eve were created, they understood that God had a law. They understood what these things were. They may not have understood completely the degree of their punishment, but they knew what the commandments were. So here we have this man out there gathering sticks. They had just come out of Egypt, and here he is gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they found him, and they bring this man to Moses and Aaron, and they ask them, what are we supposed to do with this man? So Moses asked God. In verse 35, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be, what? Put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. Can you imagine that? You've got this man that was breaking God's law, and God says, you know what? Because he was breaking my law, I want you to know how important this is. And it's interesting, it was the Sabbath law. So in verse 36, it says, so as the Lord commanded, Moses brought all the congregation, he commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. In verse 37, again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel. Tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, and to put a, what's the next word? A blue, that's right. A blue thread in the tassels of the corners. God's saying to them, okay, if you can't remember to keep my commandments, to keep my law, I'm going to give you a reminder. I want you to put these blue tassels in the corners of your garments. And verse 39, and you shall have the tassels that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments, not just one, not just nine. How many? All of them. all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and you that you may follow the that you may not follow the mine uses the word harlotry. Does anybody have something else? Harlotry in verse 39. In other words, he's saying that they're harlots, these people who are breaking his commandments. That you may not follow the harlotry to which your own heart and your own eyes are inclined. You see, God recognizes because of this problem of sin, our inclination is to not do his will, but to do something else. And he's saying, I love you so much. We know that he sent his son, but he wants to give us a reminder here. He wanted to give them a reminder. Put these blue threads or tassels on you, and every time you see that color blue, you're going to think about my law and keep my commandments. In verse 40, it says, and that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy for your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. That's pretty powerful. It's pretty striking that they had to put that on them to be reminded of that all the time. You know, I wonder sometimes when we look up at the sky and it's the color blue, if that's not a reminder of God's law for us. It's beautiful when we look up there. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Show you how important this is to God. Here in Exodus 28, we see that God had given he wanted the Israelites to have a certain way of worshiping, and he had commanded them that they should make these garments for the priests, for worship. And it's very specific, and I really appreciated this, especially when it came to this gift of this church that we were given. If you look at verse 3, let's just start there just for a minute. It says, so you shall speak to all who are gifted artisans, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me as a priest. So Aaron was to be priest. But the point I wanted to focus on for just a second is that it says here that God filled them with the spirit of wisdom so that they could do his will. And in many ways, I see that with the things that took place here in this building when we got it. The talents that Russ and Ed and Rick have, and the things that we were able to accomplish in a very short period of time. It kind of reminds me, Corey mentioned that to me. He said, you know, it reminds me of this verse, that it seems like God provided just what we needed, when we needed, with the talents that we needed. And Corey could do the wiring and the things that we needed with the switches, and everybody had their own little niche, and they knew how to do these things. And it just came about somehow. And it makes me wonder, did God give us that ability and bring this group together to be able to do those things? I believe so. I really do. So here we have these artisans that come together to make these robes. And look at verse 4. It says, and these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a skillfully woven tunic, a turban, a sash. So they make holy garments for Aaron your brother and his sons, that he may minister to me as a priest. Verse 5. They shall take gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and the fine linen. And they shall make up the ephod of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen, artistically worked. God was very specific. Each one of these colors means something. And it says in verse 7, it shall have two shoulder straps joined to its two edges, and it shall be joined together. And the intricately woven band of the ephod, which is on it, shall be the same workmanship, made of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine woven linen. He says this over and over. And you notice in verse 15, you shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it. We were just reading about that in verse 6. And it says here, continuing in verse 15, of what? Gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen. You shall make it. Look at verse 18. The second row shall be turquoise and what? A sapphire and a diamond. And so if you read through this, just in your private study, we don't have time to read all of Exodus chapter 28, but read these things and notice the details. God gives attention to the details. And it's really beautiful how he does this. And if you notice here again in verse 31, it says, you shall make the robe of the ephod of all of blue, it says. There shall be an opening for his head in the middle of it. It shall be woven, binding all around its opening, like the opening of a coat of mail, so that it does not tear. And upon its hem you shall make pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet, all around its hem, and belts of gold between them all around. Now, you know, we find these colors, some of these colors, later on in the Bible, too. So we see that in all of these items of clothing, in the ephod and even in his robe, they all had blue. And according to what we've read earlier, what was the blue? What were the blue tassels to remind them of? God's law, his commandments, so that they would remember to do them. So naturally, when you look at the high priest standing before them, when you see that blue, you're not going to be thinking about the priest. You're not supposed to think about, oh, look how pretty his garments are. We're supposed to be thinking of our Heavenly Father and the commandments that he gave us from the beginning of mankind. Now, let's look later on in the Bible and see what the book of Revelation has to say. Revelation chapter 17. Now, we all are very familiar here that have studied this with Revelation, the book of Revelation, because we studied it for the last few years, and we've done Daniel as well. We're doing Ezekiel now. And we find the same type of thing, but notice what happens here. I want you to pay very close attention. Revelation chapter 17, and see if you can figure out what's missing. Then one of the seven angels in verse 1, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now, if you've paid attention during the time of this ministry, we've talked many times about who this power is. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Now we know a woman in Bible prophecy is a church. This woman is sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. We have done our study. We know this refers not only to the beast of Daniel, chapter 7, but the beast of Revelation, chapter 13. We know this to be the Roman Empire, or the Roman papacy. Verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having her in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. You see those colors there? We have purple, we have scarlet, we have gold. Didn't we have those colors back in the other text as well? What's missing? The blue. God's law. The commandments of God. Verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. You see, these three colors, gold, scarlet, and purple, without the blue, represent a false form of worship. They represent worship that does not include the commandments of God, or maybe only a partial representation of the commandments of God. Like the partial truth that Lucifer told in the Garden of Eden. We discussed that Wednesday, didn't we? He did tell the truth when he said, you will become like God, knowing good and evil. Ed pointed that out Wednesday night. It's very interesting. We read that in Ezekiel. But I find it very interesting that in the sanctuary instructions, in the garments that he wanted them to wear, that they had blue thread, but we find this blue, I'm going to use the word mysteriously, missing in this church that the Bible's talking about. So why does Revelation have no blue? It's because this church, this system, this Roman Empire has changed or altered or adulterated, we could say, the commandments of God by getting rid of the one about worshiping idols. You dismiss it. By splitting the tenth one into two commandments. By worshiping a false form of God. And by taking the Sabbath day and changing it to Sunday. You see, this is an abomination to God. Not only has that church changed God's law, but it's causing people to forget the law of God. You know, we're told in Revelation chapter 17 there in verse 5, it says that there's this name written on her forehead, which is Mystery Babylon. Babylon is confusion. And this is what the church has done to the commandments that God has given us. You know, he doesn't want us just to keep nine of them. He wants us to keep them all. Because within those commandments, we find the very character of God himself. Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And I think you'll appreciate this. When I say the character of God, what do we mean? If I were to start a sentence, you know, everybody has this saying, and I agree, God is, everybody says, love. God is love. I think most people would agree. That's his very character. And within the commandments, we find his character described. In fact, here in Mark chapter 12, if you look at beginning in verse 28, it says, then one of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well. They had questioned Jesus. They were trying to trick him. And they asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered, and it depends on the translation you have as to how this reads, but in the New King James, it says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The interesting thing about this in my version of the King James Bible is that Lord is all capitalized. So what he is saying is he's saying, Jehovah our God, Jehovah is one. Or Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. And in verse, and he's actually quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, which is, according to the Jews, the most sacred text of all Scripture, because it doesn't falsify God. Verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now let's stop there. I'm going to reflect back here for just a moment. You can stay right there. But when I turn to Exodus chapter 20, if I love God with all my mind, heart, soul, and strength, with all of my very being, am I going to have other gods before him? No, I'm not. I'm going to worship the one God, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Am I going to bow down to images? No. I'm only going to bow to our Heavenly Father and His Son, who He tells me I can bow to. Am I going to use His name in a worthless way or blaspheme His name? No, I'm not. Am I going to trample on His Sabbath day that He made holy from the beginning when He created Adam and Eve? No, I'm not going to trample on his Sabbath. So when Jesus said here to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's about loving God. It's about keeping the first four commandments that he gave us. And the second in verse 31, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. So the first four commandments are all about the love of our God. And the last of the Ten Commandments, the last six, are all about love of those around us. Because think about it, as I reflect back here. Honoring my father and my mother is about honoring those who are around me, my parents. And remember, that was the first commandment with a promise. We're told that by Paul in the New Testament. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to kill them. If I love my neighbor, I'm not going to commit adultery with them or someone that they're with. I'm not going to steal from them. I'm not going to lie to them. And I'm certainly not going to covet what they have so I would want to take it from them. You see, so within the commandments, we find the law of love, which is the very character of our Heavenly Father. So when we say that within the commandments, we find the character of God is love. So we should love God and love our neighbor, and by doing so, we have kept his commandments, very simply, without having blue tassels on. Without having to wear blue. I had blue in my tie on purpose today. And I have some scarlet and gold also. But I didn't have anything with purple in it. So, I want you to turn to Jeremiah. We studied Jeremiah a little bit this morning. Jeremiah chapter 31. And, you know, so many people misunderstand this text. Because they take it to mean, well, we no longer keep the commandments because it's in my heart. But Jesus makes this very clear to us. In fact, Jesus lived this. If you start in Jeremiah 31, 31, it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." God doesn't want us to have the external reminders. He wants his law to be internal. And if we follow Christ and we live the way he lived and we use him as our example, this is what will happen. If we are a true follower of Christ, it will push out anything that will keep me from displeasing God or from pleasing God. I want to please my God. So, when Jesus said to love your neighbor with your whole mind, heart, and strength, to love the Lord your God as yourself, I did those backwards. Should have been the other way around. He was talking about having that law in our hearts, in our minds. You know, it used the term in my Bible, written on their hearts. Well, you know, let's turn back to Revelation. I want you to look at chapter 17 one more time. You notice that on this woman, in Revelation chapter 17, there was something written on her head. We covered this just a moment ago. And that was that confusion written on her head. But what do we want written on us? Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Now this opens up another sermon, but that's okay. We can do this at another time. It says here in Revelation 14:1, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb." Who's the Lamb of God? None other than Jesus Christ, right? "A lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name," what's it say? "Written on their foreheads. So what's written on your forehead? Do you want what's written on this harlot in Revelation chapter 17? Or do you want what's written on the 144,000 written on your forehead? You see, if we have God's law within us, we'll have the character of God within us, which means you have Christ in you. And, you know, it's beautiful because Revelation 14 is all about true worship. It's all about those who worship God the right way, the ones who follow the Lamb. It says that over and over again. And then in verse 6, when it says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, this is Revelation 14, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of water. If we worship that God, people will know by our character. Even without us saying a word, they will know what God we worship. But we can't be silent. It says that we need to say with a loud voice. We need to proclaim this message. It has to be shared with others, not just by our example. Although our example is a huge factor in this, what we do, how our home looks, our appearance, our personal appearance, how we keep our car, how we dress. We're getting a little personal now, aren't we? What's our home like? What's it look like to the neighbors? What's it look like when people come over? What kind of programming am I watching on television? What kind of personal life do I have? You see? All of these are a witness, and all of these show whether I have God's character or I can have His name or Babylon's name on my forehead. So, verse 12 in Revelation chapter 14 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So friends, I want to have God's character. Are His commandments blue? According to the Scripture, they were carved from the very throne, the very foundation of what God sits on. So if the commandments were carved from the foundation of what God sits on, then His kingdom is established on the foundation of what God sits on. His kingdom is about His character. It's about keeping His commandments, about living the life that Christ lived when He lived on this earth. So what do you believe? Are the commandments for Christians? Let's look at what James has to say. James chapter 2. A lot of people misunderstand these texts, and I'm going to invite you to read the book of James. It's very short. It's only five chapters. And in my Bible, it's on four pages. Sometime when you get time, sit down and read this, because I'm going to do a lecture or a series of lectures on this in the future. But notice what it says, beginning in verse 8, James chapter 2, verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law, wow, God's law is called the royal law. Some Bibles call it the kingly law. Ed, what does your translation say? Royal? Okay. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partially, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. In other words, if you do this halfway, you've fallen short. And a lot of people confuse this because in verse 10 it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. They like to say, well, that shows that we can't keep it. No, friends, we can keep it. We can keep it, but not in and of ourselves. That would be impossible. We have to have the character of Christ. We have to let Him transform us. And then he goes on. I'm not going to read all of this, but it's a wonderful verse. And, you know, it talks about belief versus living it. Because in verse 19 it says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Why? Because they don't keep God's law. They believe. There are a lot of people that I know that believe. Oh, yeah, I believe we've got to keep the Ten Commandments. I believe that's God's law. But, you know, I'm comfortable where I am. I really don't think it matters. It mattered enough to our Heavenly Father that in the Old Testament, He had that man stoned to death by the whole camp for not keeping one of His commandments. He wants to refine us. He's a God of mercy, as we read. So blue commandments, you know, it brings me back to, we believe, according to Revelation chapter 13, that the United States and the Papal Rome will team up together. Believe me, there was a reason that the Pope came to the United States just a couple of months ago. And my understanding of Scripture is that these blue laws, isn't it interesting that the Sunday laws are called blue laws? I wonder if that's on purpose. It seems that way, doesn't it? These blue laws will likely be reinforced in this country. They are on the books of many states. The state of Virginia happens to be one. They're just lying there dormant, but they could be reinitiated at any time. There are a lot of laws that are on the books that they don't enforce. One of them is that if you live with someone in the state of Virginia and you're not married to them, it's a misdemeanor. A lot of this community is guilty. A lot of people around us. But they're not enforced, you see. So my understanding, according to Bible prophecy, is that these things will be reinforced. These blue laws, as they like to call them. The problem is, these aren't truly blue laws. These are Babylonian laws, because they're going to enforce Sunday worship instead of God's day of worship. So friends, we need to be prepared. We need to have God's law written in our hearts, and we want God's name written on our forehead, His divine name. And if we do that, we will fare well as long as we have Christ in us and we allow Him to work with us. If we allow that, then we can be a part of the kingdom. We can live for eternity. What a wonderful blessing that will be.
Well, friends, I hope you enjoyed that sermon as much as I enjoyed sharing that information with you. It's something that's near and dear to my heart, because as we come to know the commandments of God, it really makes us understand the character of God much more clearly. I want to invite you to come back here every week at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 4 p.m., that's 7 p.m. and 4 p.m. Pacific time every week here, every Sunday on newvisionsradio.com. Also, keep in mind that our programs are archived on the Prophecies of Hope website, and that web address again is www.prophecyhope.com. You can also find us on Facebook, but I would recommend to do that through the link on our website. So go to the website, prophecyhope.com, and then you can go to the Facebook page, and it'll kind of keep you up with some of the things that we're doing. And whenever we have a new radio program, typically we'll post it there, what it's going to be about, and hopefully you'll be able to like that Facebook page as well. Another thing that I forgot to mention at the beginning is that each week when we meet at the church, I didn't give you the address of the church. If you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, our address there is 1743 West Beverly Street, and that's Stanton, Virginia, 24401. So if you want to correspond through just regular mail, you can send us mail there. And again, if you have a Bible question like we did at the beginning of the program today, we'll try to answer that right at the beginning of each program. So keep those questions coming. We'll try to answer them. And as you'll notice, all of the answers always come from Scripture. We're not going to give you our ideas. We're going to take you right to the Word of God and try to answer those questions for you straight from God's Word, the Bible. So again, if you want to reach me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. If you want to reach Rick, you can email him at rick@prophecyhope.com. If you have any prayer requests or anything that you would like us to pray about, please feel free to email those to us, and we'll be glad to do so. So we need to close with a word of prayer, so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege that we've had of coming together, the technology that you give us to be able to broadcast, to be able to open your word and have the freedom to do so in this country that we live in. Father, we pray that people who listen will not hear the words of myself or of Rick, but that they will hear you speaking to them right straight from your word, the Bible. Father, guide and direct us as we try to study. Be with those who are opening their Bibles and studying. And we ask for your Spirit to be with each and every one of us until we come together again. And we say this prayer now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So friends, again, I want to thank you for tuning in. And until the next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.